Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. It's a wonderful Monday morning. This is where every weekday you and I, we get together, we have a little bit of coffee, we get into God's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, 2023, Lord willing, we'll make it from Genesis to Leviticus. And so we're at Genesis chapter 37, beginning at verse 12. Let's have some coffee. We'll pray, and we'll get into the Lord's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you, our generous and gracious God, have given us this time, this morning, to read your word and to work through it. We pray that we would understand it and that you would apply it to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Got to reach over here, grab my glasses. We're at Genesis chapter 37, beginning at verse 12. Here we go. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." Then he said to him, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was, wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" So he said, "I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks." And the man said to them, "They have departed from here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when he saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked. And there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices and balm and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit. And indeed, Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his clothes. And he returned to his brothers and said, "The lad is no more. And I, where shall I go?" Sorry, somebody's calling me on the computer. So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of goats, and dripped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not?" And he carried it and said, "It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn in pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and daughters arose to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted and said, for I shall go down to the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Well, we need to ask ourselves, A, what's this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this? And C, what are we called to do in response to this? Well, what's this about? This is about Joseph being sold into slavery, about fathers or about sons deceiving their father, about deception and evil, jealousy and hatred, about a plot to kill, to sell. I mean, it's, everything about this is wrong, right? This is a picture of evil within a family. This is a father who has shown favoritism to his youngest son, right? All of his, or his second youngest son, all of his kids are out and they're shepherding. And Jacob calls Joseph and he says, hey, well, why don't you go check on your brothers, right? They're down in Shechem. I heard that they're pasturing there. Go check on them and come back. Tell me how they're doing. And so he says, okay, yeah, sure, Dad, I'll go. And an interesting thing happens in the middle of this story as Joseph is going. He goes and he can't find his brother, so he finds some random dude, right? And he says, hey, where is this? Where's my brothers? And they say, hey, they're not here. You know, I heard them. They went down there. And so he goes. Notice this is, he just finds some random guy and he happens to know where they went. There's an undercurrent here. That these things are happening for a reason. But imagine how the brothers feel. You know, he's had this dream. He says he's going to rule over them. He's going to be greater than them. And now he comes, and this is like the workers against the management, right? Who the heck does this guy think he is? I mean, kid brother, he's acting like the boss here. I'm going to go check in on my brothers, right? We should kill the kid. We should just kill him and take his tunic and tell Dad some wild animal killed him. And then the firstborn, Reuben, says, guys, let's not do that. Right, we can still take off his coat, but put him in the pit. Reuben's plan is, I'll get him out of the pit later and I'll bring him to, you know, bring him to Dad. I think that's okay, sure. But as Joseph is down there, stripped of his robe, right, Reuben's off doing something, and his brothers see some Ishmaelite traders. And they think, man, we might as well make some money off this. Notice, they hate their brother, and they love money. They'd rather just get the cash and go and sell their brother, and that's what they do. They don't care about what's going to happen to him in Egypt. They don't care about how he's going to be treated by the Ishmaelites. They don't care about how he's being stripped from his family and from everything he knows and loves. They don't care. All they know is that they're filled with hatred toward Joseph. We just can't stand this kid. He just needs to go. There's this rivalry that's happened. I was just talking to a guy, by the way, yesterday about polygamy in the Old Testament and talking about how there's none of these stories end up like, oh, happy. Yeah, this is great. You know, it's always hardship. It's always heartache. And this is just one of these, once again, another one of these instances where we see this. There's this family rivalry and, well, this is just Rachel's kid. Let's just get rid of him. And so they tell him, Reuben comes and he's, oh man, what happened to Joseph? And the other boys, they seem to gleefully say, yeah, we sold him off down to Egypt. So Reuben shuts his mouth and goes along with the plot. Kill an animal, put the blood on the coat, you know, make it nice and dirty, take it to their dad and give him. And their dad immediately says, oh man, he's dead. See, what they're trying to do is just erase Joseph's memory entirely, but it won't be erased. It won't be erased because Israel, Jacob loved Joseph. And so they try to comfort him and they try to comfort him and they try to comfort him, but all he can think about is his dead son. All Jacob could think about is this boy who in his heart and in his mind has been absolutely torn up, destroyed by wild animals, and he was the one who sent him. These brothers spent this entire time plotting in their hearts, just wanting to kill him, just wanting to get rid of him, just wanting him to be gone. They didn't want to think about him. They didn't want to be bothered by him. And now all they can think about is comforting their father, because his mind and his heart is wrapped up. And now this son, his beloved son, is now gone and dead. And now for decades, this is what's going to be on their mind, in their consciences, comforting their father as he wails in the night, as he cries, as he's distraught. You can imagine, you know, not being able to finish meals and walking out, and the brothers thinking, what do we do? What do we do? And they have to hide that. They suppress it. They bury it deep down. All the while, Joseph is sent down into Egypt and is sold into Potiphar's house. That's where it ends here. What's the best verse to summarize this? Well, I have the last part of verse 28. And sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Then I also have underlined verse 34. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his sons many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he says, I'm going to die mourning. I'm going to die in my grief. So what are we called to do? How does this show us Christ? This is the reality of what Jesus tells us. You cannot be so angry with someone in your heart that you would say, Racha, you fool. You've already committed murder in your heart. They have not loved God. They have not loved their neighbor. They have not loved their father. Joseph's brothers acted with perversity and malice, hatred and jealousy. And when we do that, when people become problems, when people become something other, just an issue that needs to be pushed away, we got a problem with our hearts. Because that person is made imago Dei, in the image of God. We might not like them. We don't even have to necessarily get along with them. But we do have to bear with them, love them, show them the respect that the image of God requires. But instead, they just want to erase him. But the undercurrent here is that God is going to use even this to save the entire family. Now, that's a spoiler alert. We're going to get there, right? We're working through Genesis. Imagine you've never read this before, but that's where we're going. But I want to call you this morning. I don't know who you are who's watching through this as you struggle with hatred. I'm going to encourage you to look at this story and be honest with yourself. Do you find yourself thinking of others more like the people of, or more like the brothers did? Or maybe you are one who's struggled with lying. Maybe you've struggled with deceiving people and not telling the truth. Deceive no more. It's the work of Satan. He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. That's not the path that the children of light are to walk. I turn from that, repent from that, and walk in the way of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we have read a portion of redemptive history that's not fun, but it is sobering. Lord, we pray that you would teach us from this picture of hatred what we ought not to live like. Lord, we pray that we would love you and love others. Give us your Holy Spirit, God. Give us love. Give us gentleness. Give us patience. Give us kindness. Give us goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may the Lord bless you today. May you walk in the peace of Jesus Christ. May you love him and love your neighbor. And I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon R.P. Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.